Welcome back to Pomp and Joe. Pomp rejoins the fray on Thursday. I'm out at Studio B, Bowser Chevy in Monroeville, having a grand time out here. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates Personal Injury Law Firm, where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And out on the fan hotline, we find our friend Michael McHenry, the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. And Michael, it goes without saying, it's been really tough for the Pirates really all season. It feels like especially lately, maybe they get a spark from the new manager, but that has sort of flatlined to 3-7 under Don Kelly. So what's it like in a clubhouse like this? How do you keep things together? How do you keep things loose and light if you even try to do that? What's it like? Because baseball's unlike every other sport in that you're in there getting ready for games every day, just trying every single day to get out of this.
Yeah, there's no great way for everyone. Everyone's got their own thing. But as a team, I think a perspective shift is always good. We saw Brian Reynolds do the lending hearts on the road and then come right back, hit the ball hard, get two hits. And I think sometimes that really helps. But the biggest thing in the game is whether you have to fake it till you make it, whether you got to do a fighting thing again and just kind of get wrapped around something as a group. I just think having that one heartbeat, that one mindset of what you're trying to do. And then the other way is find your little wins. You know, like, you're not going to get a hit every time. You're not going to get the guy in from third every single time. But you can work towards, like, man, I'm just underneath everything. I got to really focus on, you know, hitting the ball hard on a low line drive. And maybe that's all you do in batting practice. In the game, you try to do it at, you know, the second baseman three times. And if you do it, you just won that day, which will stack on to the next day. Because they got to find wins, because it looks like these guys are taking on the entire world every time they take a swing. It just is too much pressure. You can't play fearful. You have to be loose in some facet. So they got to find a way.
Yeah, one guy who probably carries, you know, more weight, more is expected from than anybody, for good reason, I would say, is Brian Reynolds. Have you seen a guy this year that looks like he's battling an injury at the plate? Has he made changes that haven't worked at the plate? I know that you make a study of these guys, Michael, and you're really good at breaking them down. What have you seen from Brian Reynolds? What do you attribute these major struggles to?
So it's very – so I'm going to tell you how I kind of break down guys. So one, I watch the body movement. Then I look, hey, are they swinging at good pitches? And then I move on to, all right, let's compare it to years in the past.
Yeah.
And then I ask those questions that you were just talking about. Is he dealing with something that we don't know about that could cause the mechanical issues? Is something going on off the field that maybe has his mind elsewhere? He's not sleeping, whatnot. So I kind of put it all in perspective. And where I'm at right now is Brian Reynolds started off with a shoulder, right? He's a switch hitter. If the shoulder is bothering Bo, whatever it is, that is what is helping him get to every pitch and extend. And the one problem he's had more than anything, he's hit the ball on the ground a ton. His swing and miss isn't bad. He's swinging at good pitches. So my thought is he able to get that snap at the end to really get that top hand activated? Because as a right-handed thrower and a left-handed hitter, that right hand really pulls hard through the zone. But once you get to the end, you have to trust that left hand to take over. It's your non-dominant hand. So it's one of those things where there's a lot going on, but mechanically speaking, he's really trying to create rhythm into his load and stay down in the ground. And if he can do that, he's a different guy. I did a breakdown yesterday of Benson on the pregame show, very similar in the sense of years past, he was coming up out of the ground. So he was coming up through the ball, which makes you topspin the ball, miss hit the ball. Brian Reynolds is actually getting on top. He's coming up so much instead of underneath, where it's going to create a lot of ground balls and top spin. So I'm hoping he puts it all together. It looks a lot better the last couple of days. Really liked his at-bats the last 3 days, especially.
Well, that brings us to Cruz. And if we would have talked 2 weeks ago, I think I would have said, you know, his plate discipline is improving for sure. His OPS is around 900.
Hitting homers. You guys?
Can you hear me? Michael?
I think I lost him briefly. I'm going to try to get him back.
Okay. Well, I'll talk about O'Neill Cruz for a minute. If we did talk a couple weeks ago, it looked like the plate discipline better, the power up, the OPS around 900. I mean, he was their best player by a million miles. And then all of a sudden, and I don't know whether this is injury related or not, nothing's happening. Like, nothing. He's got no extra base hits. Since when? Since the May 3rd was his last extra base hit. He's not walking and he's striking out all the time. 16 times in the last 7 games, including 7 of his last 8 at-bats. So I wonder what Michael's seeing there. And I trust that Limits back in the home studio is going to keep me updated every second of the way.
Will do. As soon as I have an answer for you on whatever happened to Michael's connection, you will be the first to know, Joe.
We're almost a third of the way into the season, all right? So I think that clearly Brian Reynolds is my most disappointing player so far. The first $100 million player in Pirates history. And it, you know, and this seems to infect players over there year by year, where a guy's not just slumping, it's like historic stuff. All right, Michael, I was talking about Cruz and how earlier this month he seemed to be on a great track with plate discipline, power, OPS around 900. And then all of a sudden, everything changed. Do you see injury there? He struck out 16 times in the last 7 games, doesn't have an extra base hit since, I think, May 3rd. What's going on with him?
I mean, you got to look at the back. And sorry about that big swing and miss I just had. I was talking about approaching Brian Reynolds, and here I am missing. I think it's more or less when any time you have something go in that midsection region, especially your low back or your oblique or anything else, you get a little tentative. You maybe think about it too much, and those naturally change something in your swing. He's also faced – I mean, you can't really count Wheeler. He strikes out the world. Some of the guys he's had to face has been really, really tough, and he hasn't matched up well. And he's going to run through some stretches where – he swings and misses a lot, and then all of a sudden it comes together, as we've seen. I do hope that he moves away from that leadoff spot so he can just think about production. It looks like he's trying to be a little bit more of a leadoff guy, and they've kind of figured out that he's going to swing at that first pitch in it, and it looks like he's trying to do damage around the gate, which I love. But I think he could produce tenfold, you know, maybe moving him down in the lineup. I loved him and Kutch 1-2 punch last year, and they did their little handshake. I think Kutch had his best month when they were doing that. So, yeah, I'm interested to see what they do, but I think he's a little banged up, and he's playing through it.
Well, on a positive note, we're talking to Michael McHenry here on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline. Skeens and Keller, their record wouldn't show it, but they've been really, really good, and Skeens was downright electric on Sunday in Philly. What did you see from him that day? That was maybe missing in some other starts, even though he was really good. I thought that day he was just flat out special.
Yeah, by far his best start. And I think it's no coincidence he's wearing camo socks, pulled up camo socks. I think we should deem every Skeen start day at home, since he's incredible on the road, as a camo day. Honor your military, because it just seemed right. Right after he got announced with USA Baseball, which is incredible. I'm a big part of their organization and love what they do, and he represents it perfectly. But I think all that momentum, all that hype that he got during the week, you know, the rivalry weekend, I just think he lived up to the villain for Philadelphia, because that's the big monster in our state and our rival. And two, he was just who he was. The mechanics looked better. The release was more consistent. His changeup is the best pitch on the planet that he throws 9 times and gets 5 whiffs. It's really special to watch this guy go out. You know, he started the year with the lower arm slot. He's already back up. You know, he's making adjustments that it takes guys years to make. And he's doing it between starts. He's doing it, you know, between a half season here and there. And I don't think there is a ceiling you could really describe of where he could be. Because just like Mitch Keller, we talked about this last night, me and Steven, a bunch, this guy's going to get better with age because he just gets better and better at pitching. So the stuff is one thing, but he's just getting better at pitching. Skeens came into the game with all the stuff, understood how to pitch, has a tactical game plan that's going to really hurt you no matter what because he can adapt so well on the fly. And to say his last six starts prior to this weren't good for Skeens is a legitimate statement. More of what we saw there is what we're going to see more of because that was special. Different sequencing, better sequencing, everything to me, to your point, was like top notch. It could have easily been a no-hitter, perfect game on any given day with that stuff.
Yeah, I feel like that's coming this year, one or both.
I do too. I really do.
I mean, that was impressive. And then there's special, Keller.
Right?
Yeah. And Keller had one blow-up start against the Yankees, 3 2/3, 7 earned runs. If you could take away that one start, and you can't, I get it, but if you could, we'd be talking all-star numbers for Keller. Because other than that, I think he's been really, really good. What do you see there?
Well, I always make this joke. May is Mitch, and Mitch is May. I don't know what the tie is there, but he dominates in May. Just to put in perspective, this is something I was going to talk about later on the postgame. He's got 12 wins, which is his most in this month. 3.86 ERA, which is his best in this month. Most inning pitch, 2 complete games, a shutout. He has no other complete game shutout any other month. When I say every category, his best numbers are in May, every category. And people will say, oh, 3.86, that's not that good. Well, if you remember Mitch's first 3.5 years, he was trying to figure it out. But if you look at his last 3 years in this month, it's a joke. So, like, I think he's hitting his stride. And like I said, watching him change his usage over the last 3 starts, really start utilizing the fastball better. I think he's using his breaking pitches a lot better. And I think him and Skeens, if you look at kind of how they're using their breaking pitches, I think they're helping each other out. And it's been phenomenal to see. So I think Mitch Keller still has a chance to get that all-star bid because I think this month he's going to run through some teams like he did yesterday with Cincinnati. And he started out where he threw 26 pitches in the first, 16 breaking balls, and he couldn't find the zone and then came out and dominated with this fastball for 5 innings. I mean, that's a veteran right there, and I loved it.
You said something interesting before, and I'll let you go on this one, Michael. We're talking to Michael McHenry, that you are part of USA Baseball. And I'm wondering, we always look at, like, United States hockey. Where does that stand in the world right now? And basketball, for sure. Like, you know, the world has caught up to U.S. basketball, although they won the gold medal. What right now is the state of U.S. baseball compared to around the world? Where are we? What's something interesting you could tell us about USA baseball?
Japan is running up the leaderboard really fast. I think last time, so the way that they do this measurement is between all the Pan Am games, all the World Classics, they pin it all together. So, like, how did the 12U team do in Tokyo and who all was there? China's getting really good at the lower levels and they're going to be better in the future, especially if they jump into the World Baseball Classic. They need to play more baseball over in China, but it's really the complete Asian region is growing immensely because of the guys that are coming over to the United States. Baseball is growing so rapidly over there that the talent and their development because their discipline is off the charts. And the one thing about USA Baseball, why we're falling behind, is because in Japan, if they win a gold medal, there is a parade in the country. If you win a gold medal here, nobody hears about it. So it's a different animal. Everybody hears about the World Baseball Classic, but most people don't know. I'm part of USA Baseball and helped pick the team for 18U the last 2 years. So is Jack Wilson. Some really incredible dudes. They won gold last year. It was playing games to get into the games that they're going to – it's a World Cup is what they call it. And a lot of people don't even know it's going to happen. So I think, you know, kind of getting behind the United States again, it will help. But I think this next World Baseball Classic could put us back – in incredible graces, in the sense of we are baseball because it's America's pastime.
When is that, Michael? When's the World Baseball Classic?
World Baseball Classic next year. Is that what it's called? It's called the World Baseball Classic, right? Where they put it all together.
So, yeah.
World Cup.
Yeah.
So it's next spring. I mean, you're talking about Judge being the captain. Skeens is going to lead the race. I'm pretty sure Chris Sale is going to end up on that team. Scooble. I mean, you're talking about juggernauts. You know, the guys that should be there are going to be there. Last time a lot of guys pulled out. I don't think it's going to be the case this time. I think they saw the excitement. I don't think you can describe that atmosphere. It was some of the best baseball I've seen in my life. I can't wait because the Dominican's going to be absolutely packed. Venezuela's going to be packed. But we're in a better division to get to the top and get back to Japan and put them on a plane and send them home.
Man, that's going to be awesome. Thank you, Michael. We appreciate the time. Great, as always.
I appreciate it. I got a good statement from one of the guys I look up to in USA Baseball organization. He said, "We are in the gold medal business." And it's something that I always think about because I was supposed to play in 08, and I couldn't. I got hit in the ear, had a seizure, and the organization wouldn't let me go. Well, the guy that replaced me hit the game-winning home run to win gold. So every time someone says, like, you know, what's your goal? I was like, I'm going to win a gold medal. I don't say maybe, sort of. At some point, I'm going to go coach and I'm going to win a gold medal, because that guy said, we're in the gold medal business and this man's going to win one. And that's the thing I'd say with the Pirates. Just grab for the biggest thing you can and try to pull it to you. And I think everything's going to get better.
Who was the guy who replaced you that hit that homer?
Lucas May.
Interesting. Yeah. All right, Michael.
They called it Pan Am Games. A lot of fun. All right, guys. Take care. God bless.
See you, buddy. Limits, that sounds like it's going to be pretty exciting, does it not?
Yeah, it sure certainly does. I love watching the World Baseball Classic. The last time they had it, Michael was right. It was incredible to watch. Ohtani up against Judge was the final matchup in the WBC. And that was much-watch television for me.
I mean, Skeens and Judge is a pretty good place to start for a ball club, no?
Yeah, on the same team.
Oh,
especially,
man.
You're going to see Skeens against Ohtani. There's a good chance of that in the World Baseball Classic.
Somebody asked me on X, because we were talking about Skeens and trading him and all that stuff was a topic earlier. Would you trade Skeens straight up for Aaron Judge? Would you, Limits?
Yes, I probably would, even though Skeens is like, what, almost 10 years younger?
Wow.
I don't know.
I don't think I would, just because,
the age factor is the huge thing. Plus, if you throw Aaron Judge on this team.
There's contracts and everything else. Yeah, I know.
I don't know.
Neither
I'd say no.
I'm depressed.
I've talked myself out of it.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Social media's biggest loser brought to you by Awaken 180. Visit them at Awaken 180 Weight Loss. I mean, I realize it's just reporting, and it may very well be accurate reporting, but just the sight on some X sites of seeing Kenny Pickett is going to start for the Browns. Oh my God! Or at least have the pole position in training camp. I'm stunned by this development, Limits. Not necessarily that of those four, Pickett would be the guy to start camp, but just the fact that Kenny Pickett is in somebody's camp. It's the Steelers' arch rival or one of them, and that he may be the guy to come to Acrisure Stadium and start for the Browns. I didn't have this.
No,
did you?
No, I never, a couple of months ago, would have ever had this on my bingo card. My bingo card is something that could possibly happen. And I think that he probably does have the pole position. And I saw something, I can't remember who said it, but it was on Colin Cowherd's show, that basically whoever wins it out between Pickett and Flacco, the other is probably going to get released so that Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders is still on the team. So you could see Kenny Pickett as the starting quarterback of the Browns or a free agent quarterback at the end of the training camp session.
50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. And What's Cooking brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Very kindly, the weather right now is beautiful, which is why I'm going to play golf. Limits, cloudy with a 40% chance of rain overnight. But not expected before the end of the Pirates game. High of 70. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Many thanks to the folks at Bowser Chevy here, Studio B. What an awesome place. Limits, this idea of flag football at the Olympics is very intriguing to me. The fact that there are a number of NFL players who want to play. So a couple of thoughts. First of all, they're not going to have much time to prepare. And I don't know that they just walk in here and dominate. I think this is like a great tennis player, just assuming they'll be great at like pickleball or racquetball or something. It's a different sport. And these people will have mastered it from other countries, and they're going to have tons of time to prepare. Having said that, I definitely want to see George Pickens on the team. Do you?
Yes, I would. But why do you want to see George Pickens on the team?
Because I feel like if this is 7-on-7 and there's really not much of a pass rush and thing, I shouldn't say that. Maybe
there is.
Maybe
he doesn't have to block.
Right. And I want him and Justin Jefferson, and I just want to throw the ball up to them. Don't you?
Oh, there's no doubt that if that's the case and you have the most accurate quarterbacks, you know, ever in like Mahomes and Allen and those guys throwing the ball around, the United States should just completely dominate.
Well, see, that's the thing I don't know about. I'm not so sure about that. Florio raises a point. It's a very, very different game than 11-on-11 football. Obviously, right?
Right, but a lot of people, at least now, are growing up playing a lot of 7-on-7s, and this is basically what this is.
But this is actually 7-on-7 up and down the field to score. And this is going to be, you're going to have designed offenses with all these little tricks going on. I don't know about this. It's like assuming that a great tennis player could win almost like a ping pong gold medal or a pickleball gold medal. No, it's different. There's strategy. There's sort of exploiting matchups in a sport where there's no hitting. It's going to take a while to adjust. They're only going to have like 2 weeks from what I'm reading here. Ooh. I don't think they're going to win gold.
No, I think they're going to win gold.
Who would you have at quarterback?
I would have Mahomes, and then, well, here's the other thing. Do you have a starting quarterback and then a backup? Like, is it like the NBA where you can bring Tyrese Halliburton and Tatum and all those guys off the bench?
No, this is where my dream would come true of having two quarterbacks back there. I would have Lamar and Jaden Daniels as my two quarterbacks, and it would be unbelievable because either one could take the snap and then run, throw, or catch. They would have George Pickens and Justin Jefferson. Pick a tight end, Limits. Who's unstoppable in terms of like a basketball box out matchup type thing?
Kittle or Hawkinson, I'd say.
Oh, that would be incredible, wouldn't it? And then you'd have Saquon just because, I mean, in that sport, with the moves that he has, he's like an outlet for the quarterback, and he's a threat to run for a touchdown every time he touches the ball.
There's no way that this team is going to lose, Joe. I mean, come on.
But you do get my point, don't
I
you?
Do.
Plus the Packers GM, and this is a real factor, talked about risk of injury, which some people might laugh at. Don't laugh at it. There's people diving at your legs all the time to get the flag. Plus there's huge, you know, scrums where you're jumping up to get the ball. You could easily land on somebody's foot, somebody's leg. Plus you're cutting violently on the field to get away from people. It's absolutely an injury risk. And the Packers GM said he doesn't want NFL players in this thing because of that. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, I understand that concern because anytime that you go out there in an organized event like this with taking as many cuts as possible, there is an injury risk. But I'm also somebody who, you know, doesn't think that you can live in fear over this, especially because you're not getting hit. You know, it'd be a huge difference if this was like an organized football game in the Olympics, full-on tackling, physical game like you see in the NBA, which gets really physical when you play international basketball, but it's not. So I would think that you would be more excited for your guys to play in this than in a regular game.
I w- Maybe because as a fan, not as a GM.
Well, no.
I'm talking about nobody with any part of this.
I'm just talking about injury-wise. Like, there is much more risk of an injury in a regular NFL game than in a flag football game, I believe.
Other countries could beat us in this. I'm convinced
like
of that.
Like who?
I don't know. I don't have their rosters in front of me. Even if I did,
is the Canadian flag football team? Or how
you're
good
refusing,
is
you're refusing to acknowledge that other teams out there probably are practicing right now. And it's what does it say here? 12 players, 5 on the field at any given time. So you might have guys who play offense and defense. Travis Hunter could be there. USA Today says, what is happening here? They want Bryson Daly as the quarterback? The kid from Army?
They must have some guys that actually play flag football, like in the U.S., like organized flag football, that are going to be a part of this. I wouldn't be surprised if they have one or two.
They have Travis Hunter as a wide receiver cornerback.
Makes
and then
sense.
They have Marvin Mims as a kick returner. Do they have kickoffs in this thing?
Why would they have Marvin Mims be their kick returner?
They said no one in the league is better at running away from people. And then
I disagree. They've never seen Cordero before. I mean, why is Cordero not on that team returning kicks? He's one of the best ever to do it.
If Artie Smith is the coach of this Olympic team, he'll have Cordero out there as all 5 guys. He'll be throwing the ball to himself. Jahmyr Gibbs will be a wide receiver running back. That's a great choice, don't you think?
Yeah, that's a good pick. He's so shifty.
Deebo Samuel they have on this team.
And well, there's a chance of an injury there.
Why do they have Tyreek Stevenson as the corner? If the other team throws a Hail Mary, he's going to be talking to the fans again. What is happening? Why would you choose him?
He'd get distracted. Somebody would wave their flag in his face and he'd get distracted by it and be waving around.
I'll tell you what might get physical is the pass rushing. These guys can go crazy. So they want TJ Watt and Micah Parsons on either end. You like that?
Ooh.
Limits?
What about Myles Garrett? Does he not make the cut? Do you think he'll make that public on social media?
He would, but if you only have 5, well, you might only get 1 pass rusher because the other 4 have to cover.
It's fair.
And then he wants Dalton Varsho, the Blue Jays outfielder.
What?
As a center fielder. That's actually not
safety?
A bad idea. That would be unbelievable because this guy could get a jump on every ball as a major league center fielder would. That's the kind of creative thinking you might need here.
Why not throw Minka back there? He had more interceptions during the Pro Bowl than he did the regular season.
Put Tommy Pham back there. Every single easy pass will drop.
He'll drop it. No interceptions if Tommy Pham's on your defense.
You know what, though? The toughness and the leadership might lead them to a gold medal. Do you agree with that?
As long as there's not some arguments over a fantasy football team, I think we'll be fine.
Or any interactions with the fans. Thank you, Limits. It was wonderful today.
Good night, Joe. See you tomorrow.